Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, that's the thing you've asked from the beginning. Lord, that we would surrender all, that we would give our all, Lord. And as you give us light, as you give us revelation, Lord, let us fully surrender to every word. Lord, that you could bring forth that life, that manifestation in every member of your body. Lord, may you just be with those that are traveling today and those that are working, those that are out. Lord, you know every heart and every situation. May you just be with your people, Lord, that bride around the world. And may you guide us now in the word. Lord, give us something for the people, Lord, that you might feed our souls. So we thank you for the songs. We thank you for the words. So we thank you for every blessing, every mercy and grace extended to us. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And I just got a text from Brother Benjamin. He's not hearing, but so I think that... I don't know if it's the volume or just Brother Goomba's talking a little bit low. And so for me, I can't hear back here anyways. But on the mic, I don't know if it's the mic or what. But anyways, he did request a little bit more volume. So we're happy to see each one of you. We miss Meta on Wednesday. Good to see her this morning. And so Michael and them are in the air. And so he said he did pay for the internet. They don't give you free internet anymore, or you know, I don't know if they ever did. Some do, but he's paid for it so that if you needed him, you could reach out to him. And but we got a whole new team today, and so we thank God that we have so many willing hearts to. To step up and to serve God in whatever capacity that God would have us to do. And I always like that on the job. When I was coming up, I worked in a plywood plant. It was my first really good job. And it wasn't my first job. I worked with my dad in the backhoe business. But anyways, when I went to making plywood, I always would do anything. I wanted to learn everything that they had. I wanted to do every job that they had. And I like people like that. I like people that are just willing to do anything. They're there to work. They're there to serve. They're there to do all that they can do. I marvel when I work with people that are, they're only going to do this, nothing else. They're not, you know, their job is to empty that trash can. Their job is not to pick up that piece of paper and put it in that trash can. So if they walk up and there's one on the floor, it stays on the floor. And they do that job. They go. And so, but in the kingdom of God, we want to do everything that we can for him, for his service, for his glory and his honor. And sometimes it even takes us out of our comfort zone. And we're okay with that. So we just appreciate each one. Now, I'd like to get right into the message this morning, and I'm going to read a little, I may read the whole chapter of Revelation chapter 5. We've been reading it, and this is where we quit at on Wednesday night, kind of in the middle of it. And so I wanted to go back and just refresh it, because this is where we're going. And as, you know, I'm not real good at just making a subject and then follow this guideline. I go back and forth and back and forth. And so, but I do want to apologize for, I was working on getting the quotes out this morning, and if I put some comments in there, I try to take them out, and I copied them and was going to do that and then forgot to, and I sent them. And so you'll find some of my comments in there, but you just can overlook that. So Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, and neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And I thought that's a beautiful thing. When you think that your prayers to God, your conversations with God, is a sweet thing to Him. And it made me think of how that when you have a child and you say you're sitting on the couch, Brother Goomba, and your child just comes up and they just begin talking to you, just like they have this some things on their heart, and you tell this is a serious thing they have on their heart. Maybe they're young, maybe they're older, whatever they are, but yet it just touches you. It just touches you because this is your child and they're coming to you with their problems and with their needs and with their concerns. And it makes an impression on your heart, and it just does something to that love that you have for them. And God don't forget. God don't forget your prayers. God don't forget your desires. He knows. And so this is saying that it's a sweet thing to God when you speak with Him, when you pray with Him. And I want to say it's good to see you, sister, this morning. Sharon, we've been missing you. And we're glad you're here this morning. May God bless you. So, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, what did he tell us about the book? What did he tell us about the inheritance? That the earth is our inheritance. It's ours. Huh? And he's made you kings and priests. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb, praise be to God, that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now he covered all of those places on the earth, in the heaven, under the earth, everywhere when he was talking about no man was worthy to open the book. And now he's saying the same thing now when he's coming to this time of worship, this time of recognizing and giving glory and honor to him who is worthy of all of it. And they're all saying they heard him. Isn't that something? They all heard I, John, saying. Those that were in, under the earth, in the earth, in the heavens, everywhere. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, I'm going to skip this first here just a little bit. I'm going to go down to 2:13. So if you just drop a paragraph, we've read that. last time, and so listen, and every creature, listen at what John did, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth, such as are in the sea and all that is in them, heard I, John, saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sat upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. John must have really had a Pentecost of his own. He said, every creature in heaven, every creature in the earth, every creature beneath the earth, every creature was in the sea, heard me saying, amen, glory, honor, power, and blessing be to him that sits on the throne, that Lamb. A time of worship. A time of worship. Brother, sister, this is the time. This is the time. And this is the promise. And this is what was prophesied for this day, is to have a people on the face of the earth who were going to know him in the power of his resurrection, who were going to be able to recognize who he is. And that's been the problem, is that recognizing, is that realization of who you are, fully who you are. Not that which was in part, not that which was lost down through the ages, down through time, but bringing back to that realization what Adam had. Adam had a realization who he was and what he was put there for. And he served that purpose. And he served the purpose that God put him there to do. Because God wanted to be a Savior. And God had it. He planned. I don't have to keep repeating that. But he planned it. He planned it. And Adam was just serving his purpose. Adam was serving that purpose that God put him there for. But he couldn't be deceived. So if he couldn't be deceived, did God make a mistake? Huh? If God put him there, if God put everything up and God prepared everything just like it was, and he made a man that couldn't be deceived, and then Adam failed anyways. It's interesting, isn't it? Time of worship. Amen. How did they do it? How did they do it? How did they all hear? Huh? How did they all come into this thing? See? Here's his word. You. They all heard it. They all heard it. Brother Branham said that all of them, when the cry went forth, when he came forth, said the cry went out, all back down through there, the bridegroom cometh. How could they all hear it? How could they all hear it? Why? Because there's a resurrection. Because there's a time when all the word began to rise up. When all the word, and what is the word? Huh? What is it? It's the body. It's Christ's body. That's the people of every age. That had, they couldn't be made perfect without us. So there had to come a time when all of them would hear. He said all that was in the graves would hear it. All that was in the earth would hear it. All that was in the heaven would hear it. All of them are going to have to hear it. And when he speaks, they hear. A time of worship. Amen. How did they do it? Here's his word. You. They all heard it. See? And the four beasts said, amen. You're right, John. Just shout and praise him as loud as you can. See, heard me saying, blessings, amen, glory, wisdom, power, and might. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him, see, that liveth forever and ever. Oh, God. Now, listen to this. You, sometimes we think of this, and I think of this in the prophet saying it in humility. Because we don't go bragging that I know this and I know that and somebody else doesn't. That's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is, I'm thanking God for what he's let me see. And we should be doing the same thing. That's the worship. That's the worship that's upon us. And that's the praises that we're giving to him, is that he's let us see this day and this age, these things. Oh God, how glad I am to know what I know. How glad I am to know what I know. Not realizing. They're sealing themselves just plumb away from God. They're not realizing that they are sealing themselves away from God by rejecting this truth. And I think about it. I know you think about it. Brother Branham spoke about it many times. He said, why doesn't it go to these big places? Huh? He said, it's not for them. It's not for them. Why is it that God has little groups like this around the world? You can find this same thing in Thika. You can find this same thing in India. Just like this. Not some big fancy building, not some big place, not thousands and thousands of people. There might be that somewhere, I don't know. The Congo has big churches. God has it all. I guarantee you, He has one somewhere. It's just one person sitting there. And they're believing it with all their heart. And He might have a large group somewhere else. But He has it all. He has a variety of everything. And He puts it in a way that many times is looked down upon. Many people would think, I'm not going to go to somebody's house. I'm not going to meet in somebody's home. I'm not going to do this or do that. Why? That's what marvels me so much about John the Baptist. It took something on the inside of those people to be able to overlook the way he was dressed and the way that he spoke and the way that he carried on. Huh? It took God in them to come and hear that voice. It took something special in every single age. It took something special in Noah's day for them people to come when nobody ever heard of rain. Nobody ever heard of water coming out of the sky. Nobody ever seen anything like that, never imagined anything like that. The water came up from the earth, a dew that came up. And here is a man saying it's going to come down. It was only a little group. But God put it on those eight people. He put something in there to believe that that was the truth. He put something on those disciples that Jesus could walk by them and say, come, follow me. And keep walking. Not sit there and negotiate and say, I'll do this or I'll do that or I'll give you this or I'll give you that position. No. Come and follow me. And he just kept walking. He didn't look back. They were the ones looking back. They looked at him. They looked back what they were doing. They looked at him. They looked back. And they started following. That's what it does to you. That's what the Word does to you. That's what the Spirit of God does to you. When you don't understand it, when you don't have it all yet. You don't have the depth of it yet. Really realizing and revelation of it all. It's still something they're drawing you, regardless. Something's pulling you to it. And then you can be here 50 years. And people come making excuses why they're leaving. They're leaving. They're leaving. And trying to convince you. I'll show you in the book where one time he said it was her name was Betty and another time it was Susie. What's that got to do with anything? One time he said 700 for 7,000. He was a man. He was a man. He made mistakes. He had slips of speech. He could do that like any man could do that. But he was the vessel that God chose to stand and let the angel come and speak seven seals. Reveal seven seals. To reveal seven church ages. To reveal seven thunders. And seven trumpets. All of those sevens. He talked about them. That's right. Seven vials, seven plagues. Every bit of it is there. It's all revealed. It's all been made known. And they can walk away from a little discrepancy there Huh? Something that Satan put there for him? No, maybe God put it there for him. Yeah. Because he says things, as the brother said the other day, he says things to throw them off. Would God do that? Not only did he do it, he said he's still doing it. He's still doing it. 231, oh God, how glad I am to know what I know. We should thank God every day for what he's let us see. For what he's let us see. Not realizing they're sealing themselves just plumb away from God, out into darkness out yonder, and you can't tell them. Because they can't, they absolutely can't see it. They just can't see it. I was reading this morning, Brother Branham was making an altar call, and they weren't responding. And he started saying, maybe you're past redemption. Maybe you've gone too far. If there's nothing on the inside, no desire there for anything. I want to go to this in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And we've talked about her many times in the last couple years. And I love her. I really love her. And I think because I see the seed. I see that seed in her. And I think that in our flesh, these are the people that we look down upon. In society, we look back in the Bible and we don't have any problem going back there. We don't have any problem, you know, what's in the scripture there and saying, oh, this one's good and that one's good. But can you do it when you don't know? Can you love that prostitute? Can you love that gay person? How about the trans? Huh? Because I despise that. I despise that. But that person, that soul that's in there, what about that? That's the thing. I remember many, many years ago, I said, I'm going to preach a message one day on God's prostitutes. Because he's got a bunch of them. There was Rahab. There was a woman at the well. They come all the way through. Different ones. Different ones. Rejected, rejected, rejected. But God said, no, that's one of mine. That's one of mine. We have to put ourselves, we have to keep ourselves there, that we were in the same place, the same position. And something turned us around. Something changed our life completely. He didn't come for the good people. He came for those that needed him, needed that salvation, needed that resurrection. Verse 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And so I put the definition there, and I really like it. The word perceive means to see. It means to perceive with the eyes and enjoy the presence of one. And I thought that was a beautiful thing. Because that's exactly what she did. And he talked rough to her. He talked rough to her. He told her she don't even know what she worships. She don't even know God. To discern, to ascertain. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And I just pulled this on worship here because this is exactly where a lot of people are at. They think of worship as prostrating oneself down. You know, and it reminded me when I was a kid. That was all the idea I had about it. But when I was just a little kid in elementary school, and this was a long time ago, and they came out with this thing. This is when the cartoon started on the TV. They had some, and then I can remember one year, and I can't remember what grade I was in, but I was just a little guy, and they kept advertising this Super Saturday, and it was going to be these great cartoons were coming. And so that's what little kids was doing on Saturday morning. They were sitting in front of the TV, eating a bowl of cereal and watching cartoons. If they didn't have God in their life, if their parents didn't have God in their life, that's all. That was their life. That was the world. And so that's where I was. That's where I was at that time. And I can remember on these cartoons that it was like in medieval times or maybe Egyptians or whatever, there would be somebody sitting there on the throne. And then you would see these natives out there, you know, and they would be worshiping, they would be bowing down, they would be doing the different things. That's what the definition is. It's given obedience to someone. And that's okay. That's part of it. It's giving respect. It's giving that. It's prostrating. It's kissing one's hand. That's what they do for the Pope. All of those is the natural side of what God wants on the spiritual side. And that's what he's fixing to say. You know that's where this goes. That's the important part of this scripture reading here. But that's the idea. That's all people get. And so they never get most church ideas never get to the reality of the relationship. It's just somehow, that's the reason why they can joke about it and they can make ungodly jokes about God and even their Christian faith. And I don't think it's right. I don't think you ought to joke about the Word of God. I don't think you see people and they're supposed to be Christians and they this and this and this. And then you see them joking about the things of God and making fun. I don't think it's right. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh. Now he's identifying something that's coming to that day and that age. The hour cometh. See? When ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And that was what he was talking to her about, that you Jews, you say that Jerusalem's in the place. We worship in this mountain here. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. That's where we've been worshipping for hundreds and hundreds of years. And you say we got to do it there. So Jesus is telling her there's a change that's coming. There's something that's fixing to take place. And we know that was Calvary. Jesus said in 22, you worship you know not what. Now wouldn't you say that's quite an insult to a person? Somebody come and told you, you don't know what you worship. You don't know God. You don't know anything. Yeah. But that's exactly where every one of us was until this prophet came. Until this prophet came, none of us knew who he was. None of us knew who God was. We didn't know how to worship God. We didn't know how to approach him. We didn't know how to talk to him. We didn't know nothing. We had an intellectual idea about him from the Bible. But it took God sending a voice in the last days to open that and speak it. It had become so, the eyes had become so dull, the minds had become so carnal, until God had to come down. God had to send somebody on the scene to open those scriptures and make them alive, to make them real. So the people would know who God was. And that's exactly what was happening here in that day. God had sent somebody on the scene to make the word live, to make it real, so that they could see God in action, in man, a reality. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And now we know that statement right there that he's saying, he's only talking about the elect. Huh, is that right? Because you know the whole nation rejected him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, the Herodians, they all rejected him. But yet there's this a little elected group that's able to say, this is the Messiah. But here, this prostitute was one of them. She was one of them that had a seed in there. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now this is a prophecy. This is something that was being fulfilled, and it's something for the future. All in one. He's saying that God, the Father, is seeking true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we know that that door was opened at Calvary. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out. And so in every age, the true worshiper was believing the word of the age. But now here, Christ comes on the scene. God is veiled in flesh. And now He pours out His spirit upon the people in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the requirement. He's saying it's not onefold, it's twofold. He's saying now that the Father seeks these worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not just one side, but both. And so the Spirit was poured out, but we know it was poured out in portion. We know it wasn't, they didn't have it in the fullness. We know they didn't have the Word in the fullness. And they didn't have the Spirit in the fullness. So what they had in portion. And Brother Branham explained that thoroughly, what it was. And he explained it through the ages. How Luther's day, it was in portion. In Wesley's day, it was a little bit more. In Pentecost, it came up a little more. All the time, God was building it. But yet when it came to Pentecost, now that was fully bringing it back to what they had on the day of Pentecost. And they thought the idea, Brother Adam said a rumor went out, that He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And said many, and even in the message today, they're still believing the same thing, that Pentecost was it. That Pentecost was the seed. That Pentecost was the harvest. And it was not. It is not. No. Pentecost was the shuck. It was bringing it up. It was bringing it right back up to the seed time. And the seed was hidden by the shuck. However you know it, you farmers, you have your garden, you have your shamba, you know what it is when that maize comes up and is coming right up to maturity, and you see the signs. You see the signs by the stalk. That thing, when it's fully grown, when you see the tassel, you see when it starts to dry up, you know the maturing is there. You know it's ready now. Now it's just depending on how you're going to eat it. If you're going to eat it in that stage for like roasting, or you're going to let it dry and for later, for during the year. You know what it is. But that shock is hiding that grain. And you don't know that grain until you open it, until you peel the shuck back. But the shuck is useless. The only thing it's good for is to burn it or feed it to the animals. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now, I had a thought when I got to this, and so I brought in another scripture. But I just want to get the first part of this verse 23. The hour cometh, and now is. That's two different things. That's two different things. And that's the same thing, and I'm going to read it to you in Matthew 17. And His disciples ask Him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? So if you're the Messiah, we believe you are, you're the Son of God, we believe you are, then the scribes are reading to us out of the Bible, out of the Torah, that Elias is going to come before you come. So now explain that to us, Lord. Why are you here and we haven't seen any Elijah? We haven't seen this Elijah. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. He's saying, yeah, he's going to come, right? And in verse 12, and I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Now, without a doubt, this went through 2,000 years. And these scriptures here were one scripture in the mind of the theologians, in the mind of the people. That truly Elias shall first come, in other words, fulfilling what the scribes were saying. But I say unto you, he's come already. So they were putting that together and making it one thing. But the voice of God comes on the scene today. And what does he do? He says, yes. He said, he's speaking of two comings here. He's speaking of two things. He's speaking of when he comes in the end, the spirit of Elijah comes, and this he shall come and restore all things, ties it perfectly to Malachi 4. It's identified there in the scripture, and the prophet, Jesus is recognizing it because he's the Word. And so he's being precise. He's saying, truly he shall come. And I say also that he's already come. And so that's what's happening back here. The hour cometh, and now is. So this thing that's happening now, these true worshipers, in spirit and in truth, it had begun. It had begun right there in that day. But it was not going to be fulfilled in its fullness until this day, when the fullness of the Word come, and when the fullness of the Spirit comes. This is the day when the true worshipers worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is the time. Because it requires the life of God in you to do it. And when the life of God is in you, then the teacher is in you. And if the teacher is in you, he's teaching you the Word. He's teaching you the revelation. It's the only way it can be done. Verse 24, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Think about it. Brother Branham said most people worship in the flesh. And we're in flesh, so naturally, then there's going to be expression in the flesh. But he said, You go in the Pentecostal, and what do you have? A bunch of emotion. You have a bunch of shouting. You have a bunch of jumping, running, doing whatever they do. And not speaking against that. That's great. You love to express. You love to have emotion. But that's not the true worship. The true worship is that soul communing with God. Is that oneness between you and God, worshiping God. Becoming one with God. And having that fellowship once again. I didn't get to follow up, brother, on everything you put out yesterday. I only got to read a small part of it, but I read a little bit of it this morning too, in the end there. Adam was fellowshipping with God. Adam had oneness with God. It baffles me. It boggles my mind how you can get anything else out of that. How you can get anything else out of that. What the scripture says and what the prophet said. He was the Son of God. And he walked with God and he talked with God and he fellowshiped with God. And he was in complete control of the whole earth. He was in perfect harmony. The different ways I'm trying to say it is exactly quotes. It's exactly quotes. The way Brother Branham said it. And so it's not a guessing thing. It's reality. It's a reality. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know. Okay? Now he done told her, she don't know what she worships. She don't know God. She don't know. But now she's declaring what she does know. Because she's something in the word that she has heard, and she believes it. And she's going to express it now. Something that she knows. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Praise be to God. If you don't have a one thing, if you don't have a one revelation, you just hold on to it. Because that comes from God. And if you're a seed of God, God is going to bring everything that you need. Just hold on to what he's give you. Because it's reality. And don't let Satan touch it. Don't let Satan touch it. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Praise be to God. He's confirming. He's confirming his presence. He's confirming his life. He's confirming the scripture. He's confirming the day. And he's telling her. Now, it's not this mountain. It's not that mountain. It's not any other fleshy thing. But there's a people on the earth that are going to enter into the Spirit, or the Spirit's going to enter into them, and they are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because God is revealing the Word for another age, for another dispensation, actually. Another time. Now, it's going now to a new covenant. A covenant is now being changed from the Old Testament now to the new covenant. A new thing is being introduced. And just think. He's explaining it to a little prostitute. Huh? She knew something was real about this thing. This is in the message of True Easter Seal. But in the Garden of Eden, where they had only two boys, the decision was forced upon man to make a decision. And I think it's done to show his true colors. Huh? Sometimes things are forced upon you. Sometimes situations are forced upon you to show what's in you. To show what's down in here. Is it the seed of God or is it not the seed of God? Huh? That's right. It's going to prove. When the trial comes, when the test comes, when the challenge comes, it's going to prove what's on the inside. As Anna was asking me, how do I know if that seed's in there? How do I know if I have that seed? Huh? Just keep watching. Watch what happens when the challenge comes. Watch what happens when the test comes. You're going to testify. You're going to testify of the truth. You can't go the other way. You can't. See, I think it's done to show his true color. What he is, to show what he is inside of him, see? And we find that the time came between Cain and Abel that the decision had to be forced. Because the time of worship had come. And each boy had provided a way to make a worship to God. And if you'll notice, between right and wrong, there's just one breath of difference. Huh? Brother Ram said it's a razor. It's a razor edge between right and wrong. That's how close it is. And he said in the last days, it's prophesied that it's going to be so close it would deceive the elect. If that was possible. Think on it. If you'll notice, between right and wrong, there's just one breath of difference. And the wrong in the last days has been prophesied that it would be so close to the right that it would deceive the very elected, if it was possible. Between the right and the wrong. That's where we're at. Matthew 24. That's right. That's this day. That's this hour. And God is forcing the issue. God is forcing it. He's proving every seed. He's proving the fruit. Whatever's on the inside, it's going to come out. It's got to come out. And God knows how to bring it out. Now, in the boys, as they came to their altars and made worship, Now, I was thinking then of how many altars this morning in churches that beautiful flowers is set upon the altars. And that's all right. I have nothing against that. And that seemed to be just about the end of the worship. Think about that. That's just about it. They come in, they put some flowers on the altar, they make it beautiful. They do this, they do that. And I was thinking about this as I was working on a home one time in Davison. And when you drive up to the house, the house looked like a church. And so I walked in, I was talking to the owner, they needed some work done. And so I said, you know, this looks like a church. She said, it used to be a church. And I said, oh, I said, no wonder. And you know, because they just have a way to do it. And so if it had a steeple, they took it off. But you can just about look at a building in America and tell if it's a church or not. Can you not? Mm-hmm. And even if it's not being used anymore, which you don't find many, because the time the one group grows out of one building, another group is coming up into that building and they need it. But you can drive by a building that was even 50 years ago, maybe it's falling down or whatever. You can look at it and tell, because there's certain things they do. The steeple is one of them. Stained glass is one of them. There's just something about it that it has the traditional markings of a church, just like the traditional ideas of worshiping God. I'm going to go sit on the bench for an hour, listen to the preacher for an hour, say amen, go home, do whatever you do. That ain't it. That's the reality today. That's what the voice of God comes for in every day, is to bring us into true worship. And that true worship brings us into the presence of God. And what the presence of God is doing in every age is fulfilling that portion of the word for that day. Every age, God is doing something. There's something in that word that He is bringing to pass that wasn't for any other age, but was for that day only. And now here it is. And here it is. It's made alive. It's made real. It's presented to the people. And they're making their choices. That's it. That's why Brother Bram said, people are thinking about Judgment Day, Judgment Day, Judgment Day. Judgment Day is in front of you. Judgment Day is right now, today, when you make your decision. That's why He said every time you come in the door, He said you're closer to God or you're farther from God. You're sitting there making a decision. I agree, I believe, it becomes real or it don't become real. And Brother Bram said, if it don't become real, if God doesn't do something for you, then it's sealing you out. It's sealing you out by your rejection of the Word of God. That's why it's not a game. It's not something that we casually take to. It's not something we just casually think about it. Brother Branham said, you need to be studying this. He said, if there's no desire there, there's no nothing there to study it, that you should be studying this every day. Every day. Yeah, because there's something on the inside you that wants truth and that wants to worship God. And you know you can't do it unless you have truth. And He's here to give it to you. He's here to make it real to you. And that Spirit, if it's on the inside of you, it is going to thirst after this truth, after this righteousness. See, and it was somewhat that way with Cain, because he brought the fruit of the fields and made his service to God. See, and it was rejected, because it did not come the right and precise way that God had ordained him to come. That's right. And that's exactly right for us too. No matter how much good works we got, and that's all fine, we should have some. But that ain't it. No matter how much we can pay our tithes, no matter how much we can help our brother, no matter how much we can preach, no matter how much we can do of anything else, there has got to be Christ on the inside. You don't have to have Christ on the inside to preach. You don't have to have Christ on the inside to pay tithes. You don't have to have Christ on the inside to do good deeds. You don't. There's a lot of good workers out in these churches that do a lot more than we do. Brother Branham said they can look a lot better than we can sometimes. But that number one thing is that life, His life in you. And when His life is in you, it's driving you every day, every day. Let's see, I lost my, and it was so much. But he made his offering and done everything religiously, just as his brother, but he was rejected. And because he was rejected on the spiritual side, then it caused a jealousy to rise in him because he was greedy. See? That's in man. He can't help being what he is because he's born in that condition. Listen to what he says now. Here's our representation from Adam. Man is represented in heaven as a sinner by a sinner. So I was speaking on some time ago and someone said, well, that's not just. If I'm to be represented by one man's disobedience, then I don't have a chance. But remember also, Brother Branham said, it's now you can't blame it on Adam. He said, now you are on the same terms, free moral agency. Now you're making the decision. So yeah, you're represented by that because the fall took care of all. It brought everything under the fall. But now, you're the one who can make the choice. But listen what he says. See, I said, he says, and I don't have a chance. I said, that's true, because you were born a sinner. But you are represented. You are condemned to condemnation by representation. Well, then, that looks very cruel. But turn it on the other side. See, we are ordained to eternal life by representation. Think now. This is the beauty of it. This is the beauty of it. See? Where one represented us to death, another represented us unto eternal life. So it puts us back again before the throne again. Praise be to God. Every human being comes right back to the same place to make our choice. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. And thank God that Brother Branham said that control tower, that free moral agency that's moving that soul, says only controlled by one thing. So whatever nature is in there, if that seed of God is in there, that's the thing that's driving you. That's the thing that's moving you. And if it's not in there, that's the thing that's driving you. That's the thing that's moving you. Right there. You can't change it. And remember, he said, redemption is bringing back. It's bringing back. You had to be there. For him to redeem you back, you had to be there in the beginning. Resurrection is resurrecting that which went down. It's not something different. That's a revelation in itself. That corrects a lot of misinterpretations. When people take it out to be something different. No, he's redeeming. He's redeeming what was in him. That's what he's redeeming. 120. This is in the unveiling of God. The mighty God unveiled before us. Now we got a big brother, Jesus, the Son of God. And he come to pay it off for us. If we'll just believe it and be able to enter into the veil with him. See? Like he is our Moses. See? Jesus is our Moses of today. Moses' veil was the living word to the people. Huh? Remember when he had to put a veil on? Because of the Shekinah? Because the glory of God was, it was too much for the people. Today, Jesus veiled is the living word to the people. Huh? That Jesus in the church. Huh? Jesus in the people. Think now what he's saying. Because this is where it has to come to. And this is what the book brings it back to. This is what the title deed brings it back to. This is what redemption is all about. Is getting it back to where it was. See, today Jesus veiled is the living word to the people. That Jesus in the church, the Holy Ghost, the Son of God in the people, revealing the word by the promise of this day, makes it just exactly, see, the same now. Makes it just exactly the same now. What's he saying? You're the veil. You're the veil that God is hiding behind today. And that's it. And that's Jesus Christ. That's where he's at. That's where he's going to be seen. That's what Moses was in his day. That's what Jesus was in his day. That's what William Branham was in his day. That's what you are today. It can't be nothing else. God doesn't leave the earth without witness. God doesn't leave the earth without his presence. That's the bride. And remember, 121, Moses did this and manifested this, listen to this, not to all the world, but to the Exodus people. Huh? So what Moses did, just to the Exodus people, not the others. See, just one class of people. And that was those who come out of the Exodus, see, in the Exodus. They're the only ones. That's right. And some of those that were in there had to get out. Some of them, he opened the earth up and swallowed them up. Some of them went different ways. That's right. Just like he said in this day. There were some in the wedding. He said, how did you get in here? Huh? Without the wedding garment on. How did you get into this wedding, this supper, without the wedding garment? Think about it. Let's see. 125. Can you drop down to 125? And so you see the thing it is, that God is calling an exodus to come from behind the fleshly curtain, who tries to impersonate, who tries to join church, see, not Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian altogether, but Pentecostal churches. It is an individual affair. It's you and God. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, it's not you and the church, it's not you and the pastor, it's not you and your husband, it's not you and your wife. It's you and God. It's an individual affair. See? It's you and God. You have to go in. Not your group, not your church, not your pastor, but it's you who has to go in. It's you who has to have that life living in you. It's you and God. And I want you to notice another characteristic of Moses. When he come out, yet being a prophet, being a great man that he was, when he come out with the word, the people saw that he was changed. Huh? Is that right? He was changed. When he come down, that Shekinah was so about him that he had to veil himself. And you know what that is today. You know, when we were coming to the opening of the seals, that there were six dreams and a vision. And in those dreams, at least two of them spoke of Brother Branham being in the place of authority. One of them, he was sitting at, like he said, the Lord's table, like a feast or something, and said, the Spirit came in and took him away. And they were wondering where he went. What happened? Why was he taken away? And when he was brought back, he was placed at the head of the table. And the words the brother spoke, he said, Brother Branham, when you came back, he said, you had been changed. You had been changed. He said, you spoke with authority. You didn't know more. You wasn't just wondering about this and wondering about that and saying, maybe it's this and maybe that. Said, you spoke with authority. This is it. Amen. This is it. This is the revelation. This is the word for this day. This is the truth. We're not in the church ages anymore. The church ages are finished. The church ages are over. Now the fullness of the word has come on the scene. The fullness of the revelation. The Bible completely revealed. Completely done. The seven thunders sounding their voices. See, something had happened to him when he come out of that vindicated word of that hour. The commandments. He was a changed person. And so will you be. Huh? So will you be when you come from behind that human veil that would laugh at a meeting like this. See? That man would stumble at divine healing and say the days of miracles is past. You've dropped from behind the human veil there, the traditional veil, and everybody will know that something has happened to you. That's right, 129. And what happened to you? Because that prophet was changed. And that prophet began to speak with authority. And he brought us right up. As soon as those seals was revealed, he brought us right to the token message. And when he brought us to the token message, he wouldn't give it to us. He said, I've waited. And I waited on this until I seen it in my life. Until I seen it manifested in my life. And he said, then I could bring it to you. And not as a second-handed thing, not as something that was a maybe. He said, but I had to experience so I could bring it to you and tell you that it was the literal life of Jesus Christ has come back upon the bride today. Not a baptism of the Holy Ghost like it was 2,000 years ago. Not upon your flesh or on your spirit, but now the literal life of God on the body of Jesus Christ. That's the promise for this day. That's the promise. That's where the true worshipers are at. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. They have to come to that place. They have to come to the token. Well, you, when you come out from behind the veil, you'll be in full view of the people then. Huh? That they can see that something has happened to you. The veiled word, see, to the unbeliever, but in full view of the believer. No, it's sealed to them. They can't see it. They can't recognize it. You're a fanatic to them. But to another believer, you see Jesus Christ. You see the genuine thing living in that body. You see that person as a representation of God on the earth. See? The veiled word to the unbeliever, but in full view of the believer. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. Paragraph 130. You've been changed, huh? You've been put on display by God, not by yourself. You don't want to be seen. You want to be hidden. But God has put you on display. God has put you there for His glory, for His honor, to stand for His word. Then it was God. In them days, it was God in a man, His Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that, not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, huh? See? Not just an ordinary man, ordinary human. It was God in Christ. God in a man, the fullness of the Godhead, see? Bodily in a man. God in a man. And listen to what he's saying now, because this is where so many preachers got sidetracked. The prophet comes on the scene. God speaks to him and says, there's one gift to the age. There was only one Jesus Christ to the age. There was only one Paul to the age. There was only one Noah to the age. There was only one William Branham to the age. And then you know what happened after that? Brother Branham told us what happened after that. He said, then from that gift, from that one voice, from that one veil of flesh, he said, then it goes to the ministry of others, of many. It goes from that one that God vindicates, that God proves. He said, if he had two, he said it'd be confusion. And if he turns around and has two or three more come along and they're the ones, then it's going to be confusion. It's going to be one voice. One voice, and then it goes into the ministry of others. And all of those others have one absolute, and that's that one voice. That's what they all come back to. It comes back to God revealing every single one of us. We have the ability to be wrong. But we have the ability. Every one of us are depending on one thing. And that's Jesus Christ in us. To reveal himself. And as he's revealing himself, he's doing it in a many-membered body. Every one of us, he's doing the same thing in every one of us. It's not the pastor standing up here, or Brother Goomba standing up here, or anybody else that's standing here giving revelation. That's not possible. No, there's only one thing. We speak the word, and God is the one who gives the revelation. And God does it in his time. You don't stand up here and say something. It'd be really nice, Brother Goomba. You stand up here and you preach a message, and everybody just gets it and goes, that's not how God does it. No. God is having an individual affair with you. And he has every one of us here on whatever level he has us on. Because he's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. If we had our choice, everybody would be boom like that at one time. It's not. Just like our children. We'd have our children. We'd speak and they'd all say, yes. And here we go. And that's not it. No. No, that's not God. That's why God can take a prostitute and make her go for thousands of years and her story be told. Because it's so beautiful what God can do with the seed of God. It's so beautiful what God does. You think in that Old Testament, those Jews couldn't marry, intermarry, couldn't go with those other nations? But they pick up a prostitute down there in Jericho. And that woman not only is she saved, but now she joins up and she marries a general in the army who has a son, and comes all the way down to Jesus Christ. How could that ever happen? How could something like that, when they're not even supposed to mix in the first place? And now it's going to come right down in the genuine line of the seed of God, those sons of God. Praise be to God. And those twins, that's another one. Those prostitutes and those twins come all the way through. I found another twin the other day that just, I was reading and I thought, it come through Judah. It come through Judah. But, I won't go into it because I don't remember all the details right now. But I'll bring it sometime. But it's perfect. It's just perfect all the way through. It comes through the scripture. And you can't get away from it. See, now it's God in men, the fullness of God in the Godhead, bodily, in his entire church. See? In his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. Praise be to God. That was God's goal. That's what God's doing. God sent a voice on the scene. God sent that gift on the scene, and then it goes to the body. It goes to the believers. And it's manifesting the promise of the age. Praise be to God. That's a one-man ministry, is the gift. And then it goes to the body. God has, that's just what, see, and Elijah thought he was left out. He thought everybody else had a body. Everybody else had a bunch of believers. And he said, Lord, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Where's my believers? Where are my people? God said, I got 7,000 that you didn't even know about. Huh? God always has the believer. God always has a people to believe the message. And they might be in a minority. Yeah, and they might not be shouting and screaming, but God has them, and he's proving his word. He's proving his word. I'm going to read it again, 131. Now it's God in men, the fullness of God in the Godhead, bodily, in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. Praise be to God. Now, this is in the message, communion, and I'm getting, have a little bit here I want to read. And so, are you okay? So quiet today. I know, and I can see some of you are tired, but no, that's okay. I understand, because, but... Okay, I'm sorry. And so you don't have this. So what happened was I was trying to hurry because sometimes in the regular service I take part of the song service even. I'm still trying to do it. And so I'll send it, and then Michael has to do it in just seconds or whatever, just in a few minutes, and get it up there, you know, because he's here. And then when I'm coming out, he's got to run over there and get it up there. And so sometimes there's a little delay there. So I sent it out before the service started. And so then I added this after. And so I wanted to make sure that they got it set up and everything. And if they had any problems, they would have time to call Michael. And so anyway, so this is just a little bit extra that I throw in here. So it's in the message communion in 1962. And so I just want you to listen for a moment. Communion is to talk, and it talks back. Huh? Communion isn't one way. Communion is to talk and talk back. It's two ways. Something that you talk to, the very word commune means to talk to or be associated with something that's talking back to you. Right? This is paragraph 61 of Communion in Jeffersonville, February 4th, 1962. So she might be able to pull that up. So what is communion? It's talking to, it's the ability to talk to and to be talked back to. Right? That's communion. That's exactly what Adam had, isn't it? That's exactly what he had. God came in the cool of the evening, and he talked to Adam. Adam talked to him. They communed. He said they were in perfect harmony. And so harmony is oneness. That's what harmony is. It's oneness. And so they were in that perfect fellowship. They were in that perfect place. Isn't that what we want right now? Isn't that... That's our whole goal, just have that fellowship with God. To be able to talk to God and God talk back. And he's doing it if we're listening. If we're listening, it's what he's doing. How can he talk to us? He's the Word. And he talks to us by the Word. Another reason why you have got to know the Word. You've got to have time in the Word. You're communing with him there. And he can speak to you. And Brother Branham said, you watch people go out here and do something that you know is completely contrary. And he said, there's no condemnation. They don't feel condemned. There's nothing there condemning them. He said, why is that? He said, because there's nothing in there to condemn. Now, if the seed of God is in you, if the life of God is in you, when you get off of the Word, you start doing something that's wrong, God is going to condemn you. And it's going to happen on the inside. And it's not going to be this voice speaking out of the sky saying, you're doing something wrong. No, it's going to be something right in here. How are these true worshipers going to worship Him? In spirit and in truth. And He's able to talk to them. And He's able to reveal to them things that are right. There's just a breath of difference. He said, just a sliver, a slice, a razor edge between right and wrong. And the Spirit of God in you is in there to reveal to you the difference between right and wrong. And Brother Branham said, sometimes he's talking and you're pushing it off. And you're saying, no, I don't want that, I don't want that. But somewhere you got to come to it, because your life, if you're a child of God, your life's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse until you start listening to the voice. Elijah said it was a still, small voice. He wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in all the noise. He wasn't in the flashing light. He wasn't in all that. He was in a still, small voice. And that voice is speaking to you. That voice is on the inside speaking to you. The true worshipers are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said here, this is in paragraph 62. Jesus said here, listen close now as I read. My body is meat and drink. My blood, comma, body and blood is meat and drink. What is my body? My body? Meat and drink. What's your meat and drink? The Word and the Spirit. Huh? 63. Now, we want to think of Jesus and associate Him what He was. What is His body? Huh? What is His body? Isn't that what He said? My body. My body is meat and drink. So what's His body? Huh? What is the body of Christ? It's the body of believers. That's associated with Him in the Holy Spirit. That's the body. You are the body. You're the veil. And he's saying that you are meat and drink. He's saying that life, that spiritual food, it's in you. And it's being ministered out to those people that you come in contact with every day. Every day. That life that came through the prophet, that token that came through the prophet, now it goes out into the ministry of all of the entire body. The entire Godhead, the Bible says, and the prophet said, is now in the body. And you are that meat and drink to the people. You're giving out the Spirit. You're giving out the Word. You're giving out the life. Huh? Why? Because He's life. The Word is life. He said, my words are spirit and they're life. You give out the Word. If there's a seed in there, you're giving out eternal life. God is quickening that thing. He's quickening that seed by the words that you're speaking. This is not an emotional thing. This is not a denominational thing. This is not something said, oh, I like this person, I'm giving you eternal life. That's Catholic. That's not this. The true worshipers worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's how they worship Him. And so they're giving out the spiritual revelation for the day and the age that they live in. And the spiritual seed is the only ones that can receive that. They're the only ones who can recognize it. That's why they fall in love with you. It's because you have given them something. Brother Branham talked about when he went on the other side and he said that woman there was 96 years old when he led her to Christ. Brother Branham said, no wonder she said, my precious brother. Sure. One more time. Paragraph 63. Now we want to think of Jesus and associate Him, what He was. What is His body? What is the body of Christ? It's the body of believers that's associated with him in the Holy Spirit. Not an idol, not a piece of bread, but a spirit that's in the heart of the believer. And they are associated together now, that when man and God can talk to each other, sons and daughters of God, mortal man, through the shedding of the blood, brought remission of sin. And this man and this woman, boy or girl, that has fellowship with Christ is communing with him, the body. Praise be to God. That's right. Praise be to God. Amen. We thank God so much. I'm going to stop right there. The true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the fullness of that never came until this day. The seals was tore off. The whole thing was open. The Bible was completely revealed. The whole thing. Do we believe that? Do we believe this is the day that the Bible was completed? The New Testament. Just as 2,000 years ago, the Old Testament was completed. Yeah, it was completed. It had come to that place. Now the New Testament is completed. And Brother Branham said the book that was sealed, it was opened, it was revealed, he said, then it was closed. Not meaning that you can't open it up and read the things promised through the ages, things that was promised for this day. It's all there, still there, it's still the word, still the revelation. It's still reality. But what's the difference? It's all been revealed. It's all been revealed now. And we see it. We see it as he has unfolded it to his people. Amen. Praise be to God. We ask you to stand together with us. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you so much, Lord, to know that this is the day, Lord, that the true worshipers would worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, when you had opened the book and reveal the whole plan of redemption, reveal the whole promise, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, as the prophet said, we're thankful to know the things that we know, the things that you've opened to our hearts, to our understanding. Lord, may you just bless each one, Lord. Give each one a good day. Bless those traveling, Lord, and once again, those working. So we just commit all to you as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, Brother Gumba, come and just greet the people. I enjoy it so much. Just,
I just want to see him on Sunday to tell him how great he is. Number one, the tribe. Can you play that on there? Number one, having the tribe. How great thou art. Now, this is great. This is really good. This is very good. to realize that, you know, we've said that his cup, we've said his cup. But there are those people who, that quote is very good, brother, in the communion. There are those people who are asking, where is he? Where is he yet? Because they're expecting him to come in a body like that, with the nails and that. When we recognize this is great, that we go to the Shekinah glory, and we're here, and we're here now. We are that body that they are looking for.
Amen. That's right.
That's the body. That's why I say, if he's going to do something with the body, he's going to do with my body, with your body. He has the body. He has the body of believers. That's a great quote, brother. Thank you for coming the way you did, brother. But that's very good. Those quotes are very, very good. I don't know why Brother Don thinks you are quiet. You need to, can you do that a bit? And then you sing, how great thou art, how great thou art. Can you sing this one? Number 134, 135, is that right? Can you sing that? All right, let's sing it. Okay. All right, take your time, dear, take your time. God, when in awesome wonder, consider all the world that's not made. I see the stars.
I hear the roar ring thunder, thy power drum, the universe is in vain. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the bard sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain ground, any other brook can feel the gentle breeze. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I that God is unsparing, send him to die, I just can't take it in. That on the cross, my burden glad revealing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, we shout of acclamation, and take me home, oh, joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and they proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sing my soul, my Savior to you.